personal forming meetings and so forth. Kennedy seems really concerned about it. Celia Scott still seems to defend the right of the Citizens Committee to build whatever it wants, although she expresses concern. Catherine Byers sort of dawdles and diddles and is sympathetic to all sides, as usual. And the meeting yesterday of the City Council Subcommittee on Open Air Shelter included lots of bureaucrats from the county that they had invited in order to ask, well, how can you help us in the county? And the county officials replied, we can't help you at all. Everything we have is being cut. We don't want to see the, in essence, they implied, we don't want to see this open air shelter anyway. We want to see it because it's full of drug users and it's full of, people who are abusive and assaultive, and it's not sufficiently monitored, and it's there are sanitation problems. And, I sound like I was listening to Mayor Jordan in San Francisco talk about, let's clear out the homeless from Golden Gate Park because of two hypodermic needles or something like that.
Or me, because, opposed a large open-air shelter. I thought that it, because it was going to turn out just the way it did, I've always felt that, well, I can't say I've always. Initially, way back in 85, I was advocating for a mass campground, but I would rather see now, given what they did nothing back there, would be just small campsites, small in various little parks throughout the city and county that would be just designated as homeless and even state. We have enough, there's enough parkland in the Santa Cruz County area that you could have very small areas designated as campsites, and then you wouldn't have this mass, it's like, There's when you get large groups of people together like that who are living on the edge, it just happens. I mean, it doesn't even have to be large group of people living on the edge. I mean, just go to some of the rock concerts or something like that. But I just think that, it was an invitation for trouble. But at the same time, just to kick everybody off of there and put up some trailers. Now, you will never see, I will vouch for this, you will never see any kind of a permanent shelter there for the very reason I said, because they want to keep that open in the event that there's ever any kind of access up to the university. This whole thing of their trailers, I guess it sounds okay if that's all they can come up with. They do need to have something, try to get something else in place for the people that won't be served by the trailers, because did you say they're going to ask them to pay rent?
Yeah, everybody.
Well, then they have to, you're talking about SSI people then.
Yeah, everybody in the trailers will be asked to pay, I guess, low-income type rent, and that's only going to serve at the maximum of 50 people.
Mm-hmm.
But so in other words, in this situation, you and Sherry Connable seem to agree with each other that the open-air shelter should be moved, or in your case, you should think divided into smaller shelter areas, or I should say open-air campground areas. Connable is asking for just that it be moved. That's the general thing. Byers would not entertain any idea that the community house should move. That was our suggestion, that move community house, keep the open-air shelter there at least until you found other places for it. But and then I went to the Citizens Committee for the Homeless meeting yesterday, the Board of Directors meeting, and asked them specifically to commit themselves to no building on that site or no clearing the site unless and until there were alternate places for the 150 to 200 people who currently use it, and they've refused to do that, although they've expressed great concern.
Well, then the next, I guess your next role will be to organize those people out there and just, chain them to the ground or whatever so they don't leave. But I hope Ms. Connable remembers that she was the one who really instigated a lot of that open-air shelter back there. So, because she was holding those very little meetings that we were all not supposed to attend to out there at the free meal, so.
I remember, yeah, there was a great controversy in 1990 where Connable held private meetings evicting you and I and other activists who wanted to attend from the meetings, and indeed that policy of exclusion continued with Margaret Maher and the Coalition for Citizens Place Review Board. We've been able to break into those meetings now. We're all there. I don't know.
Well, that's good. That's a step in the right direction.
Yeah, we all should
all
be together.
In the same room. That's good.
It is. It is good. When I talked to Paul Merceau, the head of the open-air shelter, his suggestion was a kind of a strange, whimsical one. He said, let them build community house, everybody will be on the streets, and then you can push for real shelter.
Yeah, right.
That was his suggestion.
Right.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's a good one.
Well, that's, yeah, that's the update from the world. So I understand now you, just let's turn the spotlight back on you, Jane. You, we were all giving you up for dead about half a decade ago because of various problems you were having with your kidneys.
Yes, well, it's still failing, and that's me, you know. I die a little bit, and then I resurrect, and I die and resurrect, and that's kind of been the story of my whole life.
I see. So at the current time, you're on the upswing or on the downswing?
Oh, I'm just kind of holding, you know.
You're swinging along.
Right.
You're a swinging kind of woman. Yeah.
Right.
What's happening around DeSoto? That's the little town that you're in case the hip people want to reach you and take you out?
Oh, right. Yes, exactly. Well, DeSoto's a little railroad town.
In Missouri,
Actually, the Union Pacific's car shop is here. So since Union Pacific seems to be buying every railroad in the United States, their car shop keeps getting bigger and bigger. I suspect someday it'll just be one big car shop here. But anyway, it's a small little town, has a lot of poverty. I do some work in the food pantry. I've heard about homeless people here. I haven't seen them, but they're not too welcomed here. I just recently got involved in the city government, and so...
In fact, you were appointed planning commissioner, were you?
Right, I was, right.
Jane Immler, bureaucrat at large. Eh?
Right. Well, I thought I'd work a little differently this time. I'd get inside the government first and then... start beating them up, so rather than beating them up from the outside. So, but there has been some talk about maybe starting a soup kitchen here. So we'll see.
Well, let me ask you this: since you've racked up several $100 phone bill with this call, which Chris will contribute,
help pay for.
Oh
right?
Yes, definitely, definitely. You try and find me.
Okay.
Actually, no, I will make a small donation. What's your recommendation to activists here in the face of this decision to evict all these people from the campground? Many of them, of course, will go into the Winter Armory shelter on, I guess, November 1st. It starts on a weather-operated basis, and that's either the 15th of November or maybe it's the 15th of December that it starts every day. Would you encourage them to resist moving? Would you encourage them to, how would you suggest they deal with this issue?
Well, I think initially what you need to do is to, you know, start having information, either meetings about what the options are, and also, you know, if you're still doing your street sheet, you ought to get that out to tell them about that.
You're referring to the street shit sheet, of course.
Right, and then see what, you know, how many people you're willing to get to put it on the line.
Perhaps.
To start resisting them.
Well, we're hoping that you're going to come back in town and join us in these demonstrations.
Well, get something going and see what happens.
Okay.
I might need a place to winter.
There you go. Well, we could find you a nice tent.
That's good. That's good. Just says you've got a warm sleeping bag.
Do you have any words of wisdom for the rest of us before we let you hang up?
Just keep up the good work. Keep up the good work. You're still in there fighting, and that's important. So, and just remember that we're all, just like they say, a paycheck away from being homeless.
Thank you, Jane.
Okay, it's good talking to everybody.
All right.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That was Calamity Jane Immler, a famous and infamous homeless activist here in Santa Cruz.
I'll go get Ramona.
Give it a little bit. Ramona?
The lady. Who do you want to bring in next?
You are listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz with occasional interruptions here at the mic at 96.3 FM. A phone call-in number for those of you who have been trying to call in and have reached a busy signal since we've had only one line and have only one line. Call 427-3772 or 427-FRSC, Free Radio Santa Cruz. The show may well go into the next hour. It depends on whether we get bumped by the next host. We'll see. We don't mean the downtown hosts. We mean the people who are be hosting the next show. We have a call.
Hi, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Hi, this is Linda. Boy, it was sure good to hear Jane's voice.
This is Linda LeMaster with Housing Now. Yeah?
Yeah.
Hi, how's everything going with housing now?
Well, we're not in the streets, so I guess it's going good.
Isn't that the name of your newsletter, In the Streets?
Newsletter for the Streets.
Aha.
Can I tell you about it for a minute?
Please do.
Okay, the newsletter for the Streets is something that everybody and anybody can write in for, and we prefer short things, our original artwork, line drawings, and homeless people who write in are people who are presently in transitions, get priority if by some miracle we got flooded with information and more than we could print.
Mm-hmm.
And the homeless people get first dibs on the space. It's always, just two sides of the sheet.
If you want.
We're looking for more photos so that we can compete with the street shit sheet.
5 minutes. Can you wait? Keep going. I'm handling two things at once here. Go ahead.
Okay, I'll do the editorial policy.
Go for it.
Okay, we favor allowing people to become more indigenous. This is actually my version. It's not the official mission statement, which does exist, but we want to promote culture and the opportunity for people in the streets to tribe up and have opportunities to engage with each other rather than always being driven further and further away from each other. And we also try to practice the same thing in the so-called civilized parts of society, which isn't very civilized, I think, but these are all personal matters of taste and style. But we're open to the suburbanites and the downtown merchants, and we'll even print stuff that's been published before. You know, if you think it's good and something to hand on to people who are living one day at a time or from street to sidewalk.
And is there an address or a phone number?
Oh, yeah. Our permanent address is this P.O. Box 1735, but I think we've got it set up so we can also get information without having to mail it or pay for postage through the Food Not Bombs meal tables.
So,
although they have a lot of new volunteers, so I'm not sure everybody knows.
People who want to give a donation to your newsletter for the streets, should either write you at P.O. Box 1735, Santa Cruz, California?
Yeah.
Or they should come to the Food Not Bombs.
Downtown zip code 95061.
95061.
Yeah, leave written things other than valuable original artwork at the Food Not Bombs table.
In the Food Not Bombs
call
table.
Call me if you want to, if you have a cartoon or a drawing you want in it, call me and we'll figure out the best thing to protect your creative work.
And the Food Not Bombs table, for those who are interested, usually shows up Wednesday at 4 or 5 at Cathcart and Pacific, and also Saturdays and Sundays at 1 at River and Josephine, and then at 11:30, so at in the morning at the Loudoun Nelson Park. I'm sorry, what were you saying, Linda?
I'm sorry I interrupted like that.
That's okay.
I myself try to make it to the weekend ones when I'm in town, but I'm not very mobilized.
You might also say that if you leave your submissions at the friendly hound dog, the host's table, that we'll try and get the information to Linda, too. And our table is in front of the Delmar Theater, or near the Delmar Theater, in front of the Downtown Information Center at Lincoln and Pacific.
So shouldn't I ask Christine and Penny and everybody that mans it, or can you say that on their behalf?
No, I think it's good to ask them, but I don't think they'll mind.
So now
that's
we have
my quick take.
Three ways of direct access, and you only need postage and money for one of them.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
cool,
so
thank you.
But now, do you have any comments on anything Jane said? And I also have a particular question for you, which is the conflict in testimony, I should say, if I were the examining judge, between Jane Immler's thought that the property was acquired for $1 from the city. The Citizens Committee for the Homeless acquired the open-air shelter property for $1 in 1991 with the proviso that it be that community house be built upon it within a certain number of years, versus Paul Marceau, the executive director of the open-air shelter, claiming that the money was acquired by $300,000 in direct cash payments to the city with donations from the Red Cross and other church groups.
Well, unfortunately, the city is a party to this so-called dilemma, so there have to be public records and receipts. It's a great opportunity. Robert, we'll probably need Huff's help if we have to talk to Dick Wilson for very long.
Mm-hmm. So you don't know the answer yourself?
Oh, I have my own opinion, and it's even more interesting.
So
I didn't get to hear all Jane's talk, by the way. We had an exploding liquid soap bottle happen, so I missed much of her comment, but it helped get me through it hearing her voice in the background.
Mm-hmm.
But I've confronted Paige Smith once about 3 years into the Citizens Committee that Jane helped him found, and then he booted her off and along with the rest of us females and diversifieds, you know. And in fact, you were in on some of those meetings.
Mm-hmm.
But it was about 3 years after he started that I told him that I thought he should sue the city. And if he wouldn't sue him, I might have to sue him, and I might need his help to do it. And he said, well, you have an interesting interpretation. But my personal view is that the city and other allegedly legal entities have bought and sold to each other this property quite a number of times, and many of those times depriving it from being used by the homeless people, and always to this day depriving homeless people of having very much of a voice in it. Mm-hmm. And you and Karen Gilletta are the two exceptions, and you're not really a part of government. Well, I don't know her fiscal relationship, but she seems to have an independent voice.
She's a paid course by the, I guess it's the city, isn't it? The city pays her, or is it the county?
If the county pays her, then that will help speed up the dialogue Jane was recommending about the county.
Dialogue?
Yeah, and how about the county providing its share for people that don't happen to have a roof?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, as I was telling Jane in the audience, Linda, apparently the county has taken a firm stand that it's not going to help at all in finding additional sites for the open-air shelter. I was able to get Andy Schifrin, who was once the aide to Gary Patton, now aide to Marty Wormhout, the supervisor, to agree to look for, apparently past studies have been done on possible sites for a homeless campground. He says he claims four or five such surveys have been done, and yet he says because that has happened, he refuses to, or he says those in power refuse to do a new site search, but he claims he will find the old site searches and forward them to us.
Well, Paul Brindell should have them handy mm-hmm. and marked and organized.
Paul Brindell is the head of the community action, or one of the community action board people who has been involved for a long time in homeless affairs and is also a video photographer whose videos about the homeless takeovers of the River and Josephine property under the Santa Cruz Union of the Homeless, and also the actions at River at downtown. The demonstrations against the sitting ordinances, he has memorialized on video. Paul Brindell has also been accused of being a bureaucrat who was paid by the city. Who has had me arrested in the past for being on homeless property when he directed the River Street Shelter. I'm sorry, go ahead, Linda.
Yeah, when Nicholas gets around to writing another play, Paul Brindell will be right in there in the story of the exchange of the Coral and Highway and River Street property for baubles and...
You're referring to Nicholas Whitehead, the head of SPAN, and our co-host earlier on the show.
Yeah, also a playwright.
Also the author of Home Sweet Homeless, which we actually had on the air about three or four months ago.
I think he's a good political satirist, and I'd like to have some material to encourage him.
Anything more you want to say on anything Jane said before I move on, because I have lots of stuff I'm trying to cram in here.
I still feel that there should be a lawsuit against the city for trading hands too much with something that was mostly McKinney money in the first place.
Maybe you can do
it belongs to homeless people, not the bureaucrats who appoint themselves to know something about homeless people.
Maybe you can do some research on this in the next show.
I have a history of it. I have a personal memory of it.
Oh, good. Well, maybe you can do some research on the current status of the lease and the deed. That's in fact what Jane suggested we need to look into.
You've got those documents in the Huff files.
I'm not aware that I do, but we can find out about that. Thank you, Linda, unless you want to say something more.
I just wanted to tell you, I appreciate the tape interviews of people on the street. That's really neat. I think it enriches free radio. I think you need to put the call numbers out a lot more often because people aren't learning the new one because the old one sticks in their brain or something.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I've heard that comment. And I like it. This is a good show.
Thank you, Linda.
Yeah.
Talk to you later.
Bye.
And apropos of Linda's suggestion, you are listening to 96.3. That's 96.3. That's 96.3. And you know, concentrate, 96.3 FM, Free Radio Santa Cruz, here in Santa Cruz. I'm Bathrobe's Pierre Robert. I'm still crossing my fingers, and I'm going to have another hour to talk because I certainly have people who are willing and ready and to talk for an hour and certainly worth listening to for another hour. You're worth listening to if you want to call in, 427-3772. That's our open line. It is open for the moment. It ain't going to be open too much longer because the next person we're going to call is going to be Paul Merceau, who's the executive director of the Open Air Shelter. If I can get my numbers together, that is. And what we're going to do until we do reach Paul on the line is we're going to play some more of those interviews that Linda likes from the streets. Often from the hosts, the Hound Dog the Host's table, and also from me at Food Not Bombs Meals. So we'll listen to a little of that as I scrounge around to get this interview with Paul Merceau going.
Places for the campground. One CCH, if it can successfully carry through its plan to establish community house, a series of kind of low-income modular trailers on the property, which is supposedly due to begin happening sometime in December in terms of the removal, actually the removal of the free meal would happen in November, right?
The meal would need to move into the building by December 15th. And the actual housing plan, let me get this right, it would be a transitional housing for the homeless with case management.
Well, what that means is 50...
It means that the open-air shelter, as they call it, the camping area behind River Street, would have to move. And the city has shown some commitment toward continuing this program, the open-air shelter, but we're not sure how much commitment Citizens Committee actually has to continuing the camping area.
So there is this committee that's meeting then to find alternate places for the open-air shelter, because apparently the Citizens Committee for the homeless, the group which controls the property, I call it the Citizens Committee to Exploit the Homeless, it seems to be somewhat insistent on setting up its own little shindig there, meaning low-income housing, and kicking out to 100 to 150 people off. And so at this meeting, I guess a week ago, three city council members, they were looking for alternate sites for those people to be, and you are on the subcommittee, in fact, have been out there looking for alternate sites, although apparently you've come to a conclusion that I came to shortly after the meeting, which is that it shouldn't be the campground that moves, it should be the so-called community house that moves.
Well, if you're going to set up transitional housing for the homeless, it doesn't make sense to put it next to homeless services. It's really the people who camp need the services, need the meals and the showers and the lockers. And people who get trailers and want to get out of being homeless, I would think they'd want to be away from homeless programs and things like that. And so what I've been doing is looking for an alternative site for the trailers.
The so-called community house.
Yeah, because if you're going to get people out of being homeless, you might as well move them away from the shelter. And the people who need the shelter services, I would think, should be closer to the shelter and the showers and the lockers and things.
Now, is there any way that people can contact you to help you in your search?
My number is 458-9525. Leave messages for Brian.
All right. You heard it here first. Hopefully, Brian will be a guest on the show soon, if not during the show when we play this tape. Thank you.
Okay.
Anything you wish to add?
Yeah, well, there's a lot of emphasis on the homeless laws and homeless discrimination on Pacific Avenue and stuff, and I'd like to see more emphasis on employment and housing. And I think it really clouds the issue, because the homeless need housing and the homeless need jobs. And then all the publicity we get is that we just want to sit on the sidewalk, or we shouldn't be allowed to sit on the sidewalk. And then pretty soon it's being treated as a criminal issue. Homelessness becomes a criminal issue rather than a housing shortage issue, which is what it really is. Yeah.
And you will elaborate, hopefully, on this in greater length on your first four-hour show.
Well, might see you there, Robert. I don't know.
Cool. Thank you, Brian. Okay. Any comments from you, sir? And that was a tape of several days ago, an interview with Brian D. Koepke, a local homeless activist who's been in it for the long haul. He is a homeless person, unlike myself and other people you often hear on this show, although many of our street interviews are, in fact, with homeless people. But he's a man who's been fighting for open-air shelter for years, as well as to keep public spaces open to homeless people, such as the parks. Currently, of course, as you may or may not know, they close to all of us at dusk, thanks to our liberal city council, under recommendation from the liberal Parks and Rec Commission, headed by the liberal Lebensraum Jim Lang. And Parks and Rec Rangers are responsible for many sleeping citations, that is, citations under the city's anti-homeless go to sleep after 11 o'clock, get a ticket program, which results, of course, in jail for those who haven't got $162 and the wherewithal to find the court and go to the right court dates. So I'm about to give a call to Paul Marceau, who is the executive director of the Open Air Shelter and the man to whom complaints come. I understand he is sitting waiting eagerly to respond to all the abuse he's been getting on the air
as well as perhaps some of the information or misinformation, who can tell, that's going out about the open-air shelter, who the property belongs to in terms of what the conditions were for its use and acquisition, the good faith of the Citizens Committee, of whom he is a part. And
here he is. Hey, Paul.
Breathlessly, I've been waiting.
Oh, well.
Not eagerly, breathlessly.
Does this mean we get a little breathing on the phone from you?
Only maybe some gasping, that's all.
Oh, okay. Well, gasp away. And you've been listening. Did you hear the interview with Jane Immler?
I heard probably the last 10, 15 minutes of it.
Did you hear the part that talked about the property ownership? And
right.
And you heard probably Linda LeMaster giving her theories.
Right.
And you heard me propounding my views.
Right.
And what are your views on this whole question, Paul? Do you have any reactions?
Well, some are matters of opinion, some are matters of fact. And,
yeah.
And the transfer of the property, the money exchange, the title, that's all a matter of fact. There's no use discussing that, whether either it is or it isn't.
Have you seen the title yourself?
I have not seen the title.
So none of us, we're all in the dark, kind of feeling the elephant, so to speak. We don't know what it is, or making up the feelings of the elephant, or...
Right. I know that this agency sends regular reports to the Red Cross on progress on development of the project.
Mm-hmm. And so you feel that for that, on that basis alone, the Red Cross, you think, was a major donor in the acquisition of the property in 1991?
That's correct.
Okay. Let's get a little background on you. How long have you been with CCH, Citizens Committee for the Homeless?
Since October 19th, 1993. Almost 2 years.
And how long have you been in the Santa Cruz area?
Since October 4th, 1993.
So were you part of a nationwide headhunting talent search?
No, not at all.
I see. You just happened to show up and fortunately found a job soon.
They were hungry for somebody. And
you were the dinner.
Here I was.
I see. So you've been with the Citizens Committee's program now for almost 2 years.
Right.
And you've been director of the Open Air Shelter for how long?
The 2 years that it's been open.
And
that was a project that I initiated in the winter of 94, realizing what was coming up when the armory closed in the spring of 94.
Winter of 93-94.
Right.
And do you want to discuss that at all in terms of giving people some background about your perspective on this, on the history of the property and what you understand has been going on there? And
well, I understand. One of my concerns in the winter of 94 was stories of the use of the property in the summertime when it was simply like squatters' rights and the field was there and there was no program, no supervision. And I didn't like any of the alternatives, which were either to let it be that way with all the inherent problems that were talked about, or to close down the field and to keep the homeless at the gate.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought the best alternative was to provide some kind of minimal program of supervision and where we can ensure people's safety and security and where it would be legal. So we talked to the city council, we went through planning, we got the permit, ran the program, and as long as that piece of property was there and available, it didn't make sense to any of us on the Citizens Committee to let it sit fallow, as it were, and keep people off it when there was no legal place for them to sleep.
Now, when did the property legally become a place for homeless people to sleep, according to City Council permit?
Spring of 94.
And so throughout the spring and summer and part of the fall of 94 and then throughout this year, you had legal permits for this for homeless people to camp there.
Right.
And indeed, you've been involved in certain controversies concerning tents and dogs. And
that's why we don't talk about camping, because the permit is to operate an open-air shelter and not a campground.
Right, even though tents do show up there, because indeed we're talking about human beings, not cords of wood.
But yes, that is correct.
So we
don't run a campground for cords of wood.
Well, I appreciate that. So how many people do you have on your staff monitoring or assisting in the campground operation?
About six or eight, between six and eight.
And what's the budget that you have per year? typical season? I guess it's a six-month season?
Mm-hmm.
When does it run from?
It runs from May 1 until October 31, and it costs roughly $40,000 to $45,000.
Okay, and what percent? That's mostly salaries, or?
That's mostly salaries, although there is an awful lot in the budget for utilities. That is the portable toilets on the property are not cheap, and trash removal, dump hauls, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Actually, that was one of the concerns that we were trying to bring to the Citizens Committee when it was owned by the Citizens Committee in the summer of 1991, the summer of 1992, and the summer of 1993, when people were still using the property, homeless people, to camp on, and the Citizens Committee owned it, and we wanted to get them to do trash pickups, and it was real difficult to get them to respond to those concerns. Trash pickups, I think, and water.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, the day center, I believe, was not open. The only people in the vicinity were the River Street shelter right across the way. The free meal, of course, has been on your property for, what, since 1990, or 1989, 1990, I guess, or 89 is when it began in the fall under the leadership of Calamity Jane. It was then called Calamity's Cupboard and then changed hands to Karen Gillette in 1990 in the spring.
Incidentally, Karen Gillette's salary is not paid by the county.
Ah, good. Please correct that, of course.
The Homeless Community Resource Center is a separately incorporated not-for-profit agency who has to raise their own budget through various funding sources like the rest of us.
And so where, in fact, do they get their money from?
They get it through McKinney funds. I think there's some county money.
Federal funding, McKinney funds,
right.
County money, and
right.
City
donations,
funding?
Probably city funding, yeah.
And you actually have gotten a lot of your money this year from some of it, a substantial chunk this summer, from Above the Line Community Consortium fundraising?
They have a commitment to provide a portion of our funding for the open-air shelter program.
Without which you would not have been able to run the shelter program this summer?
Right.
And what's the situation on your funding? If the funding, let's put it this way, if the Citizens Committee does not build and allows you to run this open-air shelter next spring, do you have the money to do it?
No.
And any ideas?
Most of our funding is designated to the church and armory programs. For example, our major grant is Federal Emergency Shelter Grant, and that is not available for campground use.
So are you suggesting that with folks scurrying around to look for a new place for open-air shelter, it may all be in vain anyway because you don't have the money to run it?
Yeah, we don't. Yeah, I mean, we went in big debt last summer because we had the idea and didn't have the resources and thought it was worth pursuing and dug ourselves in a hole doing it.
And right now, are you in debt?
Yes.
As big a debt as last summer? Are you talking about this summer?
Right. No, not as big as last summer, but the last summer was the start of it.
The summer of 94 started your debt, and then it's got
right.
It's not as bad this year, 95, but still not
right.
So good. Huh?
Yeah, and the city of Santa Cruz has made funds available, not nearly enough to run the whole open-air shelter program, but they have contributed to the support of that program.
Mm-hmm. Well, you were at the Citizens Committee for the Homeless Board of Directors meeting last night.
Right.
As was I, and I...
Yeah, but you left.
I did leave, yes. I realized I didn't want to kind of hog the limelight. I know you had things to say, and I would be so enraged, I would fly at you. So it's good to put some distance between us. You heard me say that I felt I wanted from the Citizens Committee a commitment to not build or bulldoze the property unless they had assurance that there was an alternate space to put people. Now, I realize that I may be bulldozing the property doesn't necessarily mean destroying the possibility of people using it as an open-air shelter, or does it?
I'm not sure what you mean by bulldozing the property.
Oh, for some reason that word just sticks in my mind. I heard that, I think, from Celia Scott or from somebody else connected with the Citizens Committee for the Homeless that originally was planned for December 15th. You begin preparation of the property for receiving community house. That is
right. Site preparation.
Site preparation.
Yeah, put in utility lines and that sort of thing.
Now, would putting in those lines preclude the use of that property as a campground in any way?
No, but why would we put in lines if we weren't going to put 10 houses on the property?
I see. So in other words, you think that in terms of, it doesn't destroy the possible use of the property for that purpose, but hey, as you say, why bother? So what I'm trying to figure out is, as an activist and as one talking to a community which includes activists who are, I think, who feel as I do, that Citizens Committee's pet project of 40 to 50 transitional homes has got to yield to the needs of 150 to 200 people who need to sleep at night if there's no other place that can be found. At what point is it going to become necessary for us to lie down on the property and not move, if that becomes the need to publicize, to call every Citizens Committee for the Homeless member and urge them to resign or to do something, to join an alternate group or to pressure you and the board? What is our deadline on this? I mean, you can change your mind at some point, right, on this issue?
Yes. I presume any individual or group can do that. Here's my take on, you know, the big picture.
Go ahead.
And this isn't a response in terms of, you know, the building deadline.
Mm-hmm.
I think there are critical needs for emergency shelter in Santa Cruz County.
Mm-hmm.
There are critical needs for transitional shelter in Santa Cruz County.
Mm-hmm.
And there are critical needs for low-income affordable housing in Santa Cruz County. The question, I think, for any agency and for the community as a whole is how to prioritize those needs. Who determines how any agency uses its or chooses to use its resources, or how the community as a whole, by whatever process, determines that transitional housing is more important than affordable housing, you know, low-income housing. And what criteria do you use? And I think that's a discussion that we haven't had yet. And I think it's a discussion that we all need to take part in. And I'm happy for the City Council study session on homelessness, which is scheduled for November, because I think it's in that kind of forum that we can begin to hear from lots of people and various segments of the community, including the homeless and non-homeless, in terms of what the needs are and what the resources are available to satisfy those needs. And I think one thing that everybody's clear on is that there's more need than there is resource.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you spend the resource in the face of so much need? And how do you decide that question?
Well, in the words of Commander Spock, the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few or the one. As he so brilliantly put it in Star Trek III, I want to give my audience some background for my quotations.
So your assumption in all this is that
aliens
there are more people
over
in need of emergency shelter than transitional shelter, that the priority is in terms of quantity.
Well, my concern, of course, has always been that everybody who sleeps outside in Santa Cruz, with the exception of those who have vehicles and can sleep in church parking lots, or those who are able to get into the very scaled-down summer ISSP program, which
right.
is, what, 40 or 60 people at most?
42.
42.
Right.
Have an illegal status after 11 o'clock at night everywhere in the Santa Cruz city limit area,
mm-hmm.
in spite of the fact that there's a shelter emergency since 1990 in which it's been officially declared there are not legal places for people
mm-hmm.
to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm afraid I cannot say that the needs of 40 or 50 people who go into low-income housing outweigh the needs of 200 people or more. I expect there's going to be more than 200 people come next year with the Newt Gingrich budget cuts, much more probably.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be a major crisis, and that has to take precedence over the needs of 40 or 50 people. I mean,
right. And I think, you know, we have to be clear as we go along in this discussion that what we're talking about is not whether or not to serve the needs of the homeless, but how best to do that. I mean, I don't want to be painted as an anti-homeless activist, because exactly, you know, the exact sort of thing we're trying to do is provide a needed piece for homeless services in Santa Cruz County that I think is critical, which is transitional shelter.
Sure.
So, you know, and nor do I want to say that I have no concerns about emergency shelter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would remind you that, you know, this dialogue on next year's open air shelter began with Scott Kennedy and myself and Karen Gillette back in June of this summer.
Mm-hmm.
We are the ones who took the initiative on it and said, we're going to have a problem coming up. Here's the timeline. Here's what the scenario will look like on March 15th of next year, and we got to start moving on it.
Well, you know, in a way, I'm not entirely unsympathetic to Jane Immler's position, which, and Sherry Connable's position, too, which is that the current open-air shelter is no solution over the long run, even in terms of emergency shelter.
Right.
It's too small,
right,
badly placed, and so forth. But, you know, I am not about, there's a problem here. I think you have you and Celia and others have a clear conflict of interest as well in, you know, in supporting this PET CCH, Citizens Committee for the Homeless Project, to, you know, to rope in funds, in my opinion, and set up these trailers and so forth, clearly at the expense of what we have right now, which is the open-air shelter. And I'm afraid that I would have to paint you as anti-homeless unless I could get a commitment from the Citizens Committee that that won't go unless we have an open-air shelter.
Why is that the only alternative, Robert?
The only alternative? Well,
it's the ultimatum, I mean. Why is that the only alternative?
What would you suggest as an alternative?
I suggest that as an alternative to continue doing what we have been doing in the last month with all the segments of the community, including yourself, city council people, homeless service providers, homeless people, and moving on this thing together rather than taking one segment of that, making ultimatums to another segment of that, that ain't going to get us an open-air shelter.
Well, to disagree with you, I think because your permit is expired for building community house, because you need a new permit to expire to build there, I think we can successfully challenge community house in a vote on the city council. It will reach the city council level for an appeal, and we can claim that if this project goes forward, there are going to be 200 people displaced. And then if city council turns down your permit, you will then be in a position to become a true anti-homeless activist by saying, well, then we won't allow the open-air shelter there either, but I don't think you'll do that. In other words, I think that, in a way, I agree with you. I'd like to see other things happen than the current open-air shelter, but if we are reduced to that condition, and I don't say we will be, but I would like to see you agree and the Citizens Committee for the Homeless agree that if reduced to that position, we will suspend the community house and continue serving the needs of 200 people, which is more important than 50 people. And I guess that's a commitment that I can't quite get out of you.
No, I agree with you. You know, open-air shelter is probably, for me, close to below the safety net.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty minimal stuff. And we don't give people a heck of a lot except
a legal place
to sleep.
Right. Place to eat.
And maybe we can do better than that, than simply letting people, you know, crowd onto a field and pitch a tent.
Oh, I would love to see that. But in the event that you can't, I want a commitment from CCH that they're not going to house those people. And I continue to hear you and CCH and Catherine Byers and Celia Scott all evading this question. And it annoys me. Maybe there's some political reason. Maybe, as you suggested to me, it would be wise to have everybody thrown out onto the streets so we could produce some real pressure for open-air shelter, maybe take over City Hall.
I didn't say it would be wise. I said there's an alternative scenario.
That is an alternative scenario. I don't wish to misquote you. I think it might be wise, you suggesting an alternative scenario. But I know how difficult it is and how much tumult that leads to, and maybe tumult is what we need. But until I can see the organizing really happening around that issue, I feel the most effective course, and I would recommend it to the audience, is to contact City Hall and call the Citizens Committee, who can be reached at what number?
423-7932.
423-7932, and let them know your feelings on this. And also, you know, if you have some ideas, if you have some pieces of property you wish to donate, and you do have an alternate site for the open-air shelter, hey, I'm looking for alternate sites, and I'm also looking for a willingness on the part of the Citizens Committee to commit itself to using the existing site if no alternate sites can be found.
I guess what I regret, Robert, is so early in the stages of this discussion in terms of finding alternate sites that we're faced with an ultimatum from one portion of the participants saying, unless it goes this way, it's not going at all. I don't think there's any way to pursue a consensus. It's in no way to move toward action. It doesn't help the dialogue to say it's got to be this way or no way.
Well, the problem is we have deadlines, as I was talking to you about at the meeting last night. I mean, if we're going to challenge your permitting process, we have to be there. We don't have months and months to deal with it.
Right.
You know, if we could secure a commitment from you, then there would be no problem. We could be working together without any problem. But we can't. And my experience with the Citizens Committee for the Homeless in the past, when it was under different management, and not entirely different management, there's still some of the same figures there, Paul Fotenauer, Paul Lee. They moved those meetings around. They screwed around with people who were homeless. They misused the name of homeless and essentially ran an elite little group that had access to lots of nice funding from private sources to do what they wanted to do, and some of the things were fine. But the decision-making process was elitist, and the difficulty that homeless people had in expressing any kind of input was insurmountable. And the very fact that you guys pussyfoot on this issue of the obvious...
As I mentioned in an earlier conversation, Robert,
yes.
One of the resolutions that the Board of Directors passed yesterday after you left the meeting was
yes.
In support and in advocacy for finding alternative open-air shelter, we're committed to this, we're committed to doing whatever possible with the rest of the community in Santa Cruz, including the city and the activists, the homeless themselves,
mm-hmm.
to provide safe, legal place for people to sleep.
That's pretty vague. Pretty vague.
Now it doesn't say what you want it to say, but don't paint us in the picture of saying that we're disinterested or...
I never have.
Okay.
But I think what I'm saying is quite clearly what you're not saying. You are not willing to conquer...